This is Susan Hidalgo-Smith for Conversations in Medicine. Dr. Robert Emmons, our guest today, is director of Ochsner's New Orleans-based blood cancer and stem cell transplant program. Welcome, Dr. Emmons.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
Your comprehensive team consists of transplant physicians and support staff who have performed more than 40 stem cell transplants. What has been more gratifying for you and your team, the transplant itself or the donation of bone marrow and stem cells?
Well, certainly we deal with a lot of very sick patients with blood cancers of one sort or another, some of whom need transplants and some of whom don't. But it is often very gratifying in this day and age to see how well patients can do, both with transplant therapies and with the newer therapies, non-transplant therapies that are being developed all the time for blood cancers. It's a very exciting time for blood cancers in that there used to be too many patients chasing too few new drugs, and now we have the opposite problem, too many new drugs with fewer patients to test them on. We have been recently awarded approval from the Foundation of Accreditation of Cellular Therapy, and we're the only FACT-approved program in the state of Louisiana, so we're very proud of that, and it's testament, really, to the quality of the team at Ochsner, which is now doing the full range of transplants, both autologous transplants and donor or allogeneic transplants.
I think people get bone marrow and stem cells or immature cells confused. Would you explain the difference?
So both bone marrow and what we call stem cells contain these things called stem cells, the mothers of all the blood cells that live in the bone marrow. It's a difference of the way we collect them that gives rise to these two different terms. Bone marrow harvesting was the only way we collected these stem cells, which is a surgical procedure in the operating room in which somebody is either under spinal or general anesthesia, and we go into the large bone marrow cavities of some of the pelvic bones to pull out these stem cells. More recently, we've determined that there's a way to get the stem cells out of the bone marrow and into the blood through treatment with certain medicines that liberate the stem cells from the bone marrow. They can then be collected from the peripheral blood, and that's what gives rise to this term peripheral blood stem cells. They're really not that much different than the stem cells that one collects directly from the bone marrow. But by virtue of the method of collection, there are some different immunologic considerations when using them for patients in transplant.
Is it important that the donor is at least partly a match genetically with the person receiving it?
So when we do donor or allogeneic transplants, which is, again, only one type of transplant, there's also situations in which we use the patient's own stem cells given back to them. But in those donor or allogeneic transplants, it is critical that there is a close match between the donor and recipient. Ideally, when it's possible, a sibling, typically a family member who is a match, is the ideal candidate. But there's only a 1 in 4 chance that the sibling will have inherited the same two genes, the same two chromosome sixes that the patient will have received. And of course, not everybody has a brother or sister. So there's a lot of patients who need to find a match, not in the family, but amongst unrelated people who volunteer as donors in the National Marrow Donor Registry.
So you're talking about alternative donor transplants. And what is it, and what can be done if a donor cannot be found?
So sometimes the patient doesn't have a family member who can be a donor, and we can't find a good match amongst the several million people in the world who serve as volunteer donors when there isn't a family match. In that circumstance, we're left going to a different source of stem cells. Sometimes in this day and age, we can actually use only half-matched family members, or so-called haplo-donors, as the donors for stem cells. Another method is sometimes to use the residual umbilical cord blood of newly born infants. So when infants are born, the residual placenta and umbilical cord is filled with a fair amount of residual cells, many of which are immature stem cells, which can be used in transplant for mostly children, but some smaller adults as well. Those stem cells have less stringent requirements for matching, and that therefore helps in situations where we have trouble finding a full match amongst a family member or an unrelated donor.
Thanks, Dr. Emmons. This is Susan Hidalgo-Smith, and B. Cole editor for Conversations in Medicine.